But the NBA, we're not sure when they're going to play again. Originally, we thought December 22nd, and now I think the players, sounds like they're pushing for January 18th, and the union is saying it's based on the logistics, and they're not going to be able to get everything together, cross the T's and dot the I's, to play by the middle of December. And to chat about that, amongst some other things, we're joined now by ESPN's NBA analyst and insider, Brian Windhorst. How do you perceive this kind of ongoing public battle between the owners in the union based on when they want to start to play, and when do you think we will see basketball again?
Well, it's a negotiation, and that's what's happening right now. And it's an unpleasant negotiation because of all the things here. You know, there's money, which is always challenging, especially in this exact moment. And then there's the worry about the virus itself. You know, there's the health and safety of the players. But, you know, they actually do have a lot of time here. I know that it's gonna be crunched to actually execute it, but they don't have to really have an agreement until November 17th. The draft is on the 18th, and that's not ideal because they're going to have free agency probably come right after that. But I suspect they will come to an agreement. They've been coming to agreements now for a few years. The leadership of the owners and the leadership of the players. And you know, I think it's pretty simple for the players, and that is there's a pot of money that's available if they start in January, and there's a larger pot of money if they start in December. And considering that everybody's going to make less money this year than they previously were expecting to, my expectation is that they will play, you know, on or about December 22nd. But I'm not saying it won't get a little messy between now and that getting resolved.
Brian, you speak of the players, and then there's players like LeBron. Yesterday we were discussing the power of LeBron and in his decision-making. What if he says, this doesn't really work for us or me? You would know better than anybody. What is the power of LeBron and his thoughts on coming back to play?
Well, I understand he's very influential, but he is only one voice. And you have to remember that there's eight teams that haven't played since March, and three quarters of the teams haven't played since September 1st. And while he definitely would face an undue burden, you know, he represents an extraordinary minority. And, you know, his pay being cut by a few extra percentage points is a lot of money, but it matters maybe less to him than the rank and file. And so he'll be outvoted, and, you know, I suppose LeBron could force an issue and there could be a game and he wouldn't play in it. I would doubt he would go against it that way, but it could come down to that. I don't expect it. That's not the track record of LeBron, the union, and the league, but he certainly has a right now to posture in that position.
We're chatting with Brian Windhorst from ESPN. The NBA and the NHL kind of mirror each other in terms of an 82-game schedule. They play around the same time of year. The NBA is more lucrative. They make more money, more revenue. But what we've learned in the NHL through their free agency is that teams have really decided to clamp down on the amount of spending, the amount of years they're willing to give out. Now, this is not a great crop of players who are available this coming offseason. But do you have a read on how this is going to play out, Brian? Could you see teams deciding, you know, to really scale back in terms of offers, in terms of term, just based on COVID and how the economics of the sport are completely out of whack?
I don't. I think because it's going to be a bit of a strange smoke and mirror thing. The salary cap is almost certainly going to remain at the exact same level. But it's really not, because the way they're going to balance the book is that every player is going to take a cut out of his paycheck. The percentage is under negotiation, but it's probably going to be 30% or more. So, you know, if you sign a guy for a $10 million contract, you're really signing him maybe for $7 million. And, you know, the idea is that the second year of that contract, which would be in the 2021-22 season, would come, knock on wood, after we're past the pandemic, and it would be back to $10 million. And so it's sort of a bit of a manipulation to try to, you know, limit the damage to this one year. And I think there will be a lot of transactions, not only in signings, but in trades. Because remember, we haven't seen a transaction in the NBA since February. The teams and the rosters have been frozen. So there's a bit of a bulge of teams looking to make moves. I do expect there to be a significant amount of one-year contracts, but that is definitely related to the pandemic and related to teams maybe not trying to spend. But it's also because next year's free agent class is considerably deeper. And as of right now, at least, a bunch more teams will have flexibility to spend. Even if we were in normal times, as crazy as that is to say, 2020 free agency was going to be a little bit thin, and with 2021 being more robust, and we were going to see guys maybe want to re-enter the market. There are negotiations going on right now. Teams and agents are starting to swap figures, even though they're not supposed to. It is definitely happening. And for the most part, I think there's not a feeling that there's not going to be any spending. I think there's going to be guys getting decent contracts.
We're Brian Windhorst from ESPN. So Daryl Morey is, I believe, on the verge of taking over the operation in Philly. And he had a long-standing run in Houston, a very successful one, but never got over the top. And, you know, would take gambles and obviously went out and got Harden, went out and got Russell Westbrook, got Chris Paul, and then shipped him out. What is the reputation of Morey league-wide, though, for a guy who gets a lot of publicity and not all of it positive, but he's never won a ring? So what is Philly walking into here?
Well, you know, I know that Daryl gets a lot of attention because he was one of the first guys to really bring analytics to the game. And I think he gets a lot of attention because he's very public, especially on Twitter. No kidding. Mm-hmm. He gets a lot of attention because he has his annual convention in Boston where a lot of the league goes. He gets attention because he's done some contracts that have been very unique. He's sort of twisted the rules into pretzels numerous times. But when you look at the reality, when you take a step back and look at what Daryl Morey has done, he has done a very conventional thing, which is get star players, superstar players, relentless approach for star players. And he also, you know, I guess the term would be arbitrage. He's not afraid to make six transactions, you know, to move the ball towards a star player 15 yards downfield, if you will, to put things together. He also signed Dwight Howard. And so he's coming to a team that has two star players. Now, those two star players don't particularly fit well together and haven't shown a perfect marriage just yet, but that's what he does. He covets getting those superstar players. So I would, because I think there's a lot of people making assumptions like, oh, well, he's going to trade this guy off, he's going to trade that guy off. I mean, I guess it's possible that the roster is a little bit mismatched, but he's not doing anything if it means losing a superstar. He is about getting superstars, and that is what he will bring to Philadelphia. And he's also been very good over the years, whether it was Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady that he had, or Dwight Howard and James Harden, or Chris Paul and James Harden. He's done a good job generally of finding undervalued players to fit around them. They've had a lot of good teams. They've had a few great teams. They don't have a championship team, and that'll be his job in Philadelphia. You know, it'll be hard because there's some challenges there, but it would not surprise me at all if he has another very successful run there.
Luka Doncic has only been in the league for a couple of years, but he's already established himself as a superstar, and there are some odds coming out of Vegas already projecting for the 2021 season. And Doncic is currently the MVP favorite. And I can't really argue that. When you look at the way he played, when he played the way he did in the bubble into the playoffs, I think that makes sense. Would you agree with that, Brian, or is there another player projecting the next season that you would have ahead of Luka when it comes to MVP?
Well, look, I mean, like anybody who's watched the game at all, how could you not be blown away, impressed by this guy at this age? There's a very good chance he's going to win an MVP award or two or three in his career. So, you know, if you're asking me whether or not it's a good bet, I think it's a fair bet. The challenge is that typically, and I know that this causes frustration at times, is that typically the MVP, if he doesn't come from the best team, it's one of the two or three best teams. And Dallas was the seventh seed last year, and I think the Western Conference is going to be incredibly intense and incredibly competitive this year, as I believe the East is. You know, when you look at the Eastern Conference and you think about Brooklyn, you know, coming back as a contender with Kyrie and Kevin Durant being healthy, you start to look there, it's going to be very competitive. So I would say Luka definitely has it, but to win it these days, the voters like to see you at the very, very top of the standings, which probably means you know, in the neighborhood of 60 wins. I don't know if that's a 58 to 60 win team there. And I guess it'll be less than that because we're going to play 72 games. But I don't know if that team is going to be good enough, but it'll certainly be interesting to watch them try.
Great stuff as always. Thank you for doing this, Brian.
Take care and have a good day.
You too, Brian Windhorst from ESPN.
Isn't Dallas got to be a team? They talk about Morey looking for superstars. Don't you want to take advantage of Doncic in his, like, the next three That's to right. 4 years? Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
Go and get him a supporting cast that you can get it done with that guy, like now.
Well, I think the hope is Porzingis could
stays healthy.
Yeah, stays healthy and could be, like, a really quality number two. But I think it's a gamble because he's had so many injury problems. And he hasn't proven that he can be
even
that
healthy
guy.
He hasn't really been that guy.
No, he hasn't been like a legitimate stud. He's had very good numbers and his rookie season in New York, he had great year. Like, he had good years in New York, and he's put up good numbers when he was healthy in the playoffs. He played well with Doncic, but absolutely, you find Luka Doncic a number two or surround him. Like, he might be so good you could pull a Kawhi Raptor situation. But that means you got to find Lowry, Serge, Van Vliet, Siakam. Like, those are obviously, it was a great team here with the Raps, championship caliber. But he might be that good. Like, he might be so good that it's like, just get me really quality supporting staff, and I can carry
can do
us.
The rest. Yeah,
yeah. And Kevin Durant was—he's got a podcast out, and he was talking about people discrediting his rings.
Dude, he of all people, by the way, should not have a podcast. Like, come on.
Yeah, you get burner accounts.
I know.
You get burner accounts.
Now, and he's talking about people talking about him the wrong way. It's just like, stay away from them. If I'm his agent, I would say, do a podcast when you're retired. Like me and Noodles.
Yeah, it's like he's bored, though. Like, it's like, you know, the guy
can't stop himself.
He hasn't played in a year and a half.
Yeah.
If I was Nash, if I was the team, if I'm the agent, I say, please light your podcast on fire. But I think that's another element of these modern-day athletes, Brian. Like, Danny Green has got a podcast going. Yep. These guys want the podcast cooking while they're playing.
It's absolutely a new-age thing. I mean,
it's
going to pop up in other sports. You can bank on. I'm sure it already has in some of them. But these are, like, big-time players. Kevin Durant is, like, an all-time great player, and he's got a podcast when he's about to start a new venture with a new team.
But it's such an odd thing because you would think maybe with a couple years to go in your career, you might think to yourself, I mean, these guys make so much money, they wouldn't need that post-career. But you would think, okay, maybe I'll get this cooking. And if it works, I got something to fall back on once my career ends. But this Kevin Durant doesn't need podcast money.
Never worked again in his life.
But,
Who would you want to hear from a podcast, like current players in the NHL?
Well,
like Connor McDavid's would be so...
It'd be funny, actually. It'd be like dry humor.
I think it'd be awesome.
The answer is Kessel in Arizona when they're tanking and he's still on the team.
While golfing.
If Phil gave the full candid podcast once a week for an hour, and all he does is break down what he's been doing. He's like, I teed it up on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, just continues to, this is what I was feeding
on
before the game.
There's nothing
about
hockey.
Oh, I couldn't care less about what he has to say about hockey.
I'm telling you, he's going to be coming up with a doozy this year with a brutal team.
Phil?
Oh, yeah.
His short game is going to be on point, though. He's going to be on that range. He'll be playing round after round after round.
Oh, apparently he's just a stick, too.
Yeah, or he can play. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like he's a scratch is my understanding. Like he is money.
Yeah, well, listen, he's in the right scenario for that. It's just, you're right with the Durant thing. Like, he doesn't need the money, but I feel like he wants the attention. Like, I mean, LeBron's like that. LeBron, like, he has to be in the middle of everything.
LeBron's got a show on HBO. He's got the Barbershop or whatever it's called. I don't know, The Undefeated, or I don't remember what it's called.
I sat and watched that one night. It's actually pretty cool. He has some cool guests. It's a cool vibe, and they sit and...
He had Obama on recently. Like
drink
Obama
wine
was on
and chill
one.
Out. Yeah, he'll have some heavy hitters on that.
Well, that's LeBron, right? Like, and that's kind of a guest-driven. It's not LeBron necessarily. Like, a podcast is just you speaking your mind, you know. And I'm sure Kevin Durant has different people join him. I'm sure he's got teammates and different guys around the league. But LeBron, like, if you're getting Obama on your show, you've got pull, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a different level of TV shows.
Yeah, it's not Al's brother.
No, exactly. Al's brother, I don't think, has a request out for, you know, the president to come on or former president to come on the show.
Exactly. But,